His is called the VCR. What's the vision, the capability, and the reach? What's your vision for the podcast? What's the capabilities? Understand what your current capabilities are and understand what you're going to need to do to improve your capabilities so that you can reach the right market.
Most hosts never achieve the results they hoped for. They're falling short on listenership and monetization, meaning their message isn't being heard and their show ends up costing them money. This podcast was created to help you grow your listenership and make money while you're at it. Get ready to take notes. Here's your host, Adam Adams.
What's up, podcaster? It's your friend, Adam A. Adams. And today I've got Pete Moore on the podcast. And he's got a podcast that helps small business owners, regular business owners, entrepreneurs that are frustrated to be able to get over those frustrations, make things simple. Actually, I love the simpleness of the title about simplifying entrepreneurship because it's exactly what he talks about. In fact, if you want to hear an interview that I was featured on his show because I'm such an awesome, famous person, right, Peter?
Yes, sir.
I needed that. Thank you. Good morning. And thank you for the boost of confidence. At any rate, season three, episode 17. Mm-hmm. Season three, episode 17. I'll make sure that that's also in our show notes so you can connect with Pete because you'll see his website. You can listen to his podcast anyway because you have the link to his podcast. You've got his whole bio in the show notes. And now, additionally, you'll have season three, episode 17. You can scroll down and you can check out where he made me vulnerable on his podcast and asked me all types of questions. Pete, it's good to see you again, man.
Yeah, it's great to see you. And it's funny. We had that conversation a while ago, and just the way we were setting up our podcast is like, it hasn't released as we talk, but it will be released as we're airing yours because there's all these sort of intermittent times in between before we get things recorded and get them out in the podcast industry, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So let's figure this out. I really want to find out because your podcast is so well connected to your actual business. Yeah. Do you mind starting by just sharing who it is you serve and how you serve them in the business and in your podcast?
Sure, sure. Well, my whole podcast and business is called Simplifying Entrepreneurship. I kept the same name for both for the same reason, so that we have consistency there and it's simple, right? So what do we do at Simplifying Entrepreneurship? Well, we help owners who are typically doing well, and I focus on businesses, not startups so much as businesses that have been going for a while. And the owner's sort of feeling, maybe I have some money rolling in, but I don't necessarily have some of the things that I really thought I would when I got into business. It's like, I'm working 50, 60, 70 hours a week. I thought I was supposed to have more free time. I thought maybe I'd be able to enjoy some time away and get away for vacations. Man, I haven't taken a holiday in 2 or 3 years, like a long weekend even sometimes, right? And I thought that things would be easier. Well, those are the common sort of things around the money may be coming in and we may be doing okay that way. But now what else is there? And we kind of go back and look at why did you get in business in the first place? And what is it? Because ultimately as entrepreneurs, I love this phrase, you own your business. It shouldn't own you. And if, again, you own your business, it shouldn't own you. And if you're feeling as though your business owns you, then you should be listening to the Simplifying Entrepreneurship podcast and you should be having a chat around what we do because that's the kind of stuff. We set up systems and processes and work with entrepreneurs that we're going to pull through what I call the 5 P's and kind of overlay those onto your business, which is aligning your product, your process, and your people to your promise so that you can enjoy the right profit.
People, product, process, people, profit. Which one did I miss?
Promise. And that's where it all starts. So it's okay. You're aligning the right product, process, and people to your promise so that you can enjoy the right profit. And that's where the freedom starts coming. And when you have your, I like to call it a, well, I'll tell you a little bit of my background is that I used to be a business broker. I used to help people buy and sell businesses, right? And I've bought and sold many of my own, and I currently own one. I own some shoe stores, and then I have this business. I have another little one as well. So all of this sort of stuff, it aligns to how I've run my businesses. And what you want to do is kind of try to set up, and I'm not saying this is for everybody, but what I've done and what I coach to for the most part is to set up a turnkey type operation. For example, we said just before we hopped online here, Adam, that I'm going to head out and go to Florida for a month here tomorrow. And that's only because I have my business running on rails and I have those things all aligned. And I'm not saying I'm not going to be in touch with my business the entire month I'm gone. I will be back and forth a little bit, but I'm not going to sit there with my phone in hand and attached to everything all the time. I'll probably spend 1 or 2 or 3 hours a week in, well, actually a bit more than that. I'll probably spend about 5 hours a week because I have a few commitments for coaching and things like that, that I'm going to carry on that I've committed. But outside of that, I've set my business up to allow it to happen. You know, decisions are made at the lowest level of my business, so I don't have to be involved in every decision. People know what to do because they're aligned with the promise. They have the right process. We have the accountabilities in place. I've allowed the accountabilities to happen, which is also a big entrepreneurial problem, right? So many entrepreneurs feel as though they need to be involved in every decision. And until you get out of that mindset of that, you're going to be frustrated by the amount of time you have to spend in your business.
I want to stay on this, and we're definitely going to get into your process of you starting your show, how you launched, why you launched, things that have like been challenging, ways you're overcoming them, specifically about the podcast. Yeah. But I love having someone like you on the show who is supporting entrepreneurs, because almost everybody listening to this podcast is also an entrepreneur.
For like, sure.
They probably want to make more money through their company that they run or that runs them, depends. I know that a lot of people listening to this show, they are also entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. And as entrepreneurs, there's some good things we do and there's some mistakes we do. And you're an expert at a piece that I think can help all of us. So I want to stay on there for a sec.
Yeah, sure.
For example, I think that you mentioned a lot of entrepreneurs feel like they've got to be involved in every single decision. And it's a thing that holds us back and makes it so that we have to work 60 or 70 hours a week instead of the freedom that we really wanted, right? Mm-hmm. I'm curious, what are some of the most common things? I don't remember the episode number, but maybe my team can put that into our show notes. But I did an episode specifically about outsourcing and hiring and making it so that you can have some more time. Mm-hmm. And I think I remember bringing up a couple of things, and I want to throw this in your direction since you serve entrepreneurs. Do you think, Pete, do you think that people end up having a business that runs them because A, they feel like they need to be involved? They feel like they're the smartest and best person, and so no one else could do it quite as well as them, so they've got to be involved and work 60 hours a week when they never wanted that? Or B, do you think that entrepreneurs end up working 60 or 70 hours a week because they have a hard time trusting somebody else to take over for them? Or C, do you think entrepreneurs fail and have to work 60 or 70 hours a week because inside of our hearts, we want to feel necessary, not obsolete? We want to feel important. And we feel as though we could maybe hire somebody to take over that stuff, but then we self-sabotage and be like involved anyway, because we've got this thing in our hearts that's not letting us get our goal, because we specifically are like, I need to feel important, so I've got to disrupt what's going on in the company. Or D, do you think entrepreneurs are unable to grow and have less work for themselves and they have to work 60 or 70 hours a week because they're so fearful that if I pay someone to do what I could do, I'm going to be losing money. I'm not going to be making as much money. I'm afraid to invest in my team and offload this and outsource it to somebody else, because it could eventually cost the company so much money that I'll go out of business anyway. Out of those four, why do you think businesses are failing and not able to end up like systemizing the way that you said process, give the, put out the process. So to make it easier so that actually the entrepreneur can go on vacation like you are for a month.
I'm going to add one more option. E.
Okay.
E. All of the above. All of the above. Everyone you outlined is a real concern for every entrepreneur. And you know what? Each entrepreneur has their own reasons, and it doesn't really matter what they are. They just are. And it's who they are. And there's no one way, but I've experienced them all that you've just mentioned. And often multiple ones of those with the same entrepreneur, right? Mm. So it's an interesting thing, but usually it has to do with, especially if you're just kind of coming off of the startup mode, like if you're 3 to 5 years in, because so many startup entrepreneurs, and I don't work with a ton of startup entrepreneurs. I work more with people who are at the stage where they're past startup and then we're moving on. And from that perspective, it's kind of like you've had to do this for the last 3 years. You've had to put in your time because there was no one else. There was no cash flow. Like it was you. And we get into this habitual sort of way of working and living every day that it's hard to turn that off. It's hard to literally flip the switch because that's just the way we've been doing it consistently for the last 3 to 5 years. And that's the way it's been. But what happens is you come to this ceiling of complexity where you've got to the point that you can get with you making all these decisions, you doing all of that stuff, and you can't go further. And we'll take this to podcasting, Adam, because your listeners are podcasters and small business owners, but you can experience this in podcasting too. This is when you've come to the point in time where you've got X amount of episodes in, and now you're saying, what the heck am I doing here? I need to get my life back. I'm going to give up. I'm going to take a break. I'm going to put a pause here and maybe take some time off so that I can figure out what I'm going to do, whether I want to make this thing continue on or what I'm going to do with it, blah, blah, blah. But it's usually around the idea that you're out of time. You don't have other people to take on these tasks and chores. You've built up something that was energetic and you were enthusiastic about and all that sort of stuff. And now it's become ritualized. And as it becomes ritualized, it's maybe not as new and fresh and interesting. But that doesn't mean that you don't still need it as part of your marketing package to get out to your potential client base, right? Mm-hmm. So from that perspective, it's like, okay, well, what are we going to do? How are we going to overlay these five P's onto our podcast, right? And it's like, okay, well, if you're producing all your own stuff, then you know you need to hire somebody like Adam who's going to do the producing for you and who's going to do all of this sort of stuff and take that off your plate. One of the things that I do with my podcast, Adam, is I have outsource partners that craft, they take the episodes and they craft a blog post for me. So I don't have to do it. I'm actually a pretty good writer, but I don't have the time, nor is it what I call in my love it zone. I have this framework called love it or leave it. So I'm actually pretty good at it, but I don't love doing it. So I actually send it off to be done. It comes back, I tweak it, make it my own a little bit, but let's say 90% of it's done by somebody else, yeah. Right? And that's based on the podcast. The same with the email that goes out. The same copywriter writes a nice little email. I tweak it a little bit, you know, 10% here or there, but she's really good at what I call having my voice, right? She's very good now after doing as many as she's done of having my voice. And she listens to the podcast. She listens to our conversation, Adam. I've already got hours done. Our podcast, the email's already out, even though your episode hasn't launched as we're having this. The email's done. The blog post is done. The blog post graphics are done. The cover graphic for your episode is done. All of those things are already done. I don't have to worry about them. They're in an automation.
Yeah.
Because I have the right process. I've aligned the process, which is that middle P there, right? Of the five P's. And because all of that's taken away, the thing that I really like to do is what we're doing now, having conversations. I love to talk business. I love to talk about how we can push through some problems and work out some ideas and come up with some crazy schemes and all of this stuff about business talk, because that's what I'm passionate about. That's what gives me energy. Why would I want to do the stuff that sucks it out of me, that makes me want to quit? So whether it's my podcast or whether it's my business, I'm trying to align the people that love to do graphics, but don't want to talk, right? You don't want more of you. You want more of all of these other areas that you don't want to do. And we can use it in bookkeeping. We can use it in all these different areas of your business that maybe, even if you're good at it, it's not something that really gives you energy. It sucks the energy. That's how you know whether you love it or not. If at the end of that hour, that half day, that whatever you've spent, do you feel like I could go again and do this again? Or do you feel like, whew, that was a big day. Like, and if that was a big day, then you know what? That's the part of the podcast, or that's the part of your business that you got to set up the process and the right accountability with your people so that you can unload it and let it happen somewhere else.
Yeah. I'm thinking about a restaurant.
Yeah. Yeah.
And let's say the person wants to start this restaurant because they absolutely love good food.
Mm.
They've learned themselves how to make good food.
Yeah.
So it's obvious that they're going to be the cook in the beginning. They're like, I want to be the chef because I've learned so much about this. And then they're saying to themselves, I'm really good at doing dishes. I don't necessarily love doing dishes, but I could bottle wash the heck out of those dishes.
Yep.
And so they become the chef, the head cook, and then the bottle washer.
Yep.
They become the bottle washer, not because they love it, not because they're excited about it, but it's like, dude, I'm really good at washing dishes. Yeah. So why wouldn't I do my own dishes? And then they love people. They love people and they want to see the smiles on the face. Man, if I'm in the back, if I'm in the kitchen, I can't see how excited people are. I want to interact. So I'm going to be the host. I'm going to be the server. And they end up only being able to serve like 3 people a night.
Yeah.
And they're losing money because they don't want to spend any other money to anyone else. They're like, I've only got 3 clients a night. How could I justify hiring a chef so that I could get out front? How could I justify paying a server so that I can focus on the kitchen? How could I justify hiring a person to wash the dishes? Because I only have 3 dishes a night because there's only 3, whatever. And so they're kind of getting in their own way, right? They're kind of like wearing all the hats, having to do the accounting, and then they go out of business because they're doing it all. So in your podcast, if you're the editor and you're finding all the guests by yourself and you're recording them all and you're coming up with the content and you're recreating all of the promo images and you're emailing the guests those promo images and you're writing your own show notes, you're doing a lot of things and it's kind of hard for you so far to monetize because you only got 3 customers. You only got 3 people coming. So it's like, we got to find a way. And if you don't mind, Pete, it's not a story. I don't need to share a whole story, but I will share 2018. I was doing okay financially. I owned a whole bunch of apartment buildings and rentals and all of my bills were paid. I was okay. But I was also working like 60 plus hours a week because I was editing my own podcast, publishing my own podcast. I didn't have any employees, but I'm like, I'm Pete's perfect person because I was working that 60 to 70 hours a week and I was doing fine. I was making money. I was several years into my journey, but I still like wasn't sure how could I justify a cook? How could I justify a host? How could I justify all these expenses if I only got the 3 clients that I've got?
Yeah.
And so I was struggling. I was drinking more alcohol than I probably needed to drink. I was frustrated with my kids more than I probably needed to be. I wasn't taking vacations because I couldn't take vacations. And I bit the bullet. I said, I don't know if I have quite enough money to hire somebody who lives next, like here in my own place. So I bit the bullet and I hired a virtual assistant.
Yeah.
And I think I ended up paying somewhere around $5-ish bucks an hour. And it was a lot of my money because I was like, I am doing fine, but I need that. But then I decided to pay it. It was hard. It was frustrating. It was stressful. And the coolest thing happened is I was able to stay in my lane. I ended up getting her to figure out how to edit my podcast for me. And then she trained somebody else. And then I got her to figure out how to handle my social media. And then she trained somebody else to do my social media. And then I got her to figure out how to do my accounting. And then she trained somebody else to do my accounting. And before I knew it, I wasn't just scraping by, but I had my absolute best year ever in 2019. Like, it was insane, the difference between 2018, when I was doing it all, wearing all the hats, being stressed, drinking too much, yelling at my kids too much. And then what happened when my first VA taught this person and this person and this person, now my expenses go way up, but the income went way, way up. And so I had like an amazing year in 2019. If you resonate with that, you might want to check out Simplifying Entrepreneurship. It's going to be in the show notes, and Pete runs it and he's great. Pete, let's talk about, do you mind if we start getting into your journey?
Yeah, sure, man. No, that's good. I mean, I'll just cap on what you just mentioned because it's fresh for me too, because not only can you free yourself up, but you can free up your team. And when your team is working in what I call their love it zone instead of their leave it zone, think about how exponentially powerful that becomes. So what we did this week, literally, we just aligned to have a part-time, you know, 20 hours a week, offsite person, virtual assistant to help my marketing person with our shoe stores, with funnels and our email funneling and all that sort of stuff and recrafting some of that stuff because he just did not have the time. So I said, let's free up your time because we can get somebody who has these specific qualities and loves doing this and is probably actually going to be better at it than you are anyway, because they're so specified in that area. So we searched, we found somebody, they hired this week. And Brock, who works with me, Brock just told me today at our meeting, he goes, oh my gosh, I think this is going to be game changing. This is going to be game changing for me. And if I can do that as the entrepreneur, as the owner of the business, if I can make his job easier, how good does that make me look? I mean, and not that I'm doing it to make me look, but I'm doing it because I honestly want to free up his time as I wanted to free up my own, because I know the power of freeing up that time so that he can focus on bigger decisions. We're always taking people up the ladder with the bigger decisions, because any decision that can be made through the right processes that we talked about at a lower level or even automatically, which is even better with Zapier and IFTT and all the other automatic things that you can do these days, let those things tackle all those baby decisions and then pull in the VAs for the other stuff so that all of your team members that are working with you can be working on their biggest decisions. It's very powerful.
Thank you for sharing that. So why did you start a podcast?
Well, I started a podcast because one of the things that I was hoping, I've already said it, I love to talk.
Okay. You love to talk.
Yeah. But I love talking to entrepreneurs.
So is it like, just to understand,
yeah,
is it that if you speak directly by interviewing an entrepreneur, it's fun for you? Or is it, if you speak to somebody, it could directly benefit your business by them hiring your company? Mm-hmm. Or is it like you wanted to figure out, how do I scale my influence to the world? And I think I can just spend 1 hour with one person and then a lot of other people can benefit and share it. Or is it because like, somebody told you, you've got to have a podcast if you want to succeed? And does it actually benefit your company? Like, is it taking too much time for your company? Is it making you work more hours than you need? Yeah. Or is there some sort of benefit to you because you like having conversations? What is the, like, the root cause of this?
The root cause is building authority. You know, Adam, I mean, that is the root cause. So when I think of my history, I used to do a little bit of radio and I've done some of that sort of stuff. I was comfortable behind a microphone and always have been. So for me, I was thinking, do I write a book? Do I start a podcast? Do I write a book? Do I start a podcast? And I'm like, I'm going to start a podcast. So I started a podcast. And by the way, I'm writing a book now too, but elected for the podcast first, because I said earlier, I don't love writing as much as I like to talk. So it was more natural for me to have conversations. And from that perspective, it's like, you know what? I've been through this journey over 27 years of being my own, you know, having multiple businesses, bought, sold, build, all that sort of stuff, businesses. And I've had a lot of experiences. I know a lot of people in business. I know a lot of people who would be interesting conversationalists around this. And what we can do through those conversations is that we can help others, because it's my belief that entrepreneurs are the backbones of our communities. And that if my sort of global mission with simplifying entrepreneurship is that if I can help an entrepreneur free up his time or free up his money, chances are he's going to actually make his community better with that time and that money. Because when you think of it, almost every wing that's put on a hospital, a steeple that's put on a church, a playground that's built in your local area have all been predominantly sponsored by people who are business owners. The coaches of the Little League hockey team or baseball team, often entrepreneurs. These people, when they have the time, they actually give back to their communities in big, big ways that a lot of community members don't see. So my sort of little legacy piece for this business and to create this authority and to do all this sort of stuff is really around this idea that if I can free up some time for that entrepreneur, they're going to make their community even better. And that's sort of something that I can say is going to be longstanding. I might not be part of that, but if my little piece of that was to help them free up some time and make more money so that they can give back, then I've done my job, right? And so when I look at the authority that I can create through a podcast, and here I'm guesting, but I'm also hosting as you were on mine, right? So I've looked at the podcasting journey and said, I started podcasting only my first episode went live sort of last June. And so I've literally had 40 or so podcasts now that have released that are simplifying entrepreneurship ones, but I've been on 70 podcasts since then. And before last June, I'd only been on one. So I've flipped my gauge to be over 100 and some podcasts because I believe that podcasts are the way to get the word out. Whatever you are trying to get out, whatever message you're trying to say to your clients, and podcasts, by the way, don't have to be listened to by 20,000 people. If you're reaching the right amount of people and they're the right people, like we talked about our people thing, and it's your ideal client, it's your ideal person. How many of those people do you really need to have listen to your podcast in order to make a better business?
Yeah, not very many, usually.
Seriously, if you have a podcast and you have 30 people listening every week, and they're the right people, then think about what it would mean to rent a room and have 30 people there so that you could chat with them for an hour every week.
Yeah.
If they're listening to you and they're dedicated listeners, that's a big audience for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And some people will say, oh, I'm only getting 30 things. And it's like, but really, can you get 30 people into a room every week for a half an hour or an hour? That's not an easy thing.
Yeah. There you go. In fact, when I sold my first podcast, it was having like 3,500 downloads per episode. And the people that I got excited to buy it were people in that same space. It was a real estate podcast and they were like real estate coaches and mentors.
Yeah.
And they specifically had years of experience trying to get people into a room. Yeah. Because when they get people into the room, they're able to sell like their coaching, for example. Yeah. So they add value. And then there's like a call to action at the end of the 3 days with them or the one day with them, the one webinar that they do. And hey, I can help you do more of this. And so I put it in terms that were for them. I thought, how hard is it for you to get 3,500 people in front of you?
Every week,
some of these people, they're like getting maybe 100 people once a month.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now they're able to get way more than that. But to get 100 people, it took all these Facebook ads. It took all of these other connections that they were with. It took all of these money. It took all of this planning and preparation and food and beverage minimums at hotels, for example, and $40,000 just to secure the site or whatever. And now they can get in front of that many people whenever they publish an episode. And so I mentioned that to people and they're like, oh yeah, I would pay $50,000. I'd pay $60,000. Some people, I'd pay $150,000. I'd pay $250,000 to be in front of 3,500 people all the time or even 30 people all the time.
Yeah. If they're the right clients, right?
Allowed me to be able to sell a podcast, but I had to think of it in terms of what are they trying to achieve and how do we give it to them easier? And it's a podcast. So I love where you're going with that. I think it's all on point. As far as what you have struggled with, what you've learned in the past, just less than a year of launching a podcast, as far as like everything that you've gained, learned, What are some of the notable things that a brand new podcaster needs to know?
Well, like I said, I'm kind of fortunate because I had a little bit of the technical background and some of that sort of stuff coming in because I've done a bit of it. But there's a certain amount of things that you need to know. There are people that record their podcasts on their phones and stuff like that. And it depends. I think you need to know what you want your podcast to sound like, right? Of what the output of it's going to be. You need to know what's the mission. Like, again, we'll go back to those five P's. What's the purpose of the podcast? Like, what are you trying to deliver? And are you delivering it through the product, which is the podcast every week, right? And you need to know what your process is going to be. We can run this, whether it's for a business or a podcast. Like, what is your process going to be? Like, are you going to batch load these? I do batches for the most part. I'll interview 25 people and then I take some time off and then I let those run. Are you going to batch this stuff? How are you going to market it? Are you going to be on Instagram? Are you going to be on LinkedIn? You're going to be on Facebook? You're going to be on TikTok? Like, how do you want to market this thing? Where does your customer live? And how do you think you can put it out there to them? So that's another thing. I love Dean Jackson. He's a great marketer. And he has this framework. I just love frameworks. I'm always talking frameworks, but his is called the VCR. What's the vision, the capability, and the reach? So what's your vision for the podcast? What's the capabilities? Understand what your current capabilities are and understand after some of the things we've talked about and when you're listening to Adam's podcast every week, some of the things that people are talking about, what you're going to need to do to improve your capabilities so that you can reach the right market. And that's always the thing because people, I mean, if your podcast is designed to have somebody take an action, people only buy a better future, Adam. They buy a better future. That's when they're ready to put their money down. They're buying a better future. And if you're showing them the better future through your podcast, then they may be willing to click buy now, whatever it is you're selling, whether you're selling real estate or whether you're selling a car or a pair of shoes or coaching services, it doesn't really matter. But showing them the way to a better life through your podcast is creating that authority that we talked about, is creating the idea that, you know what, I might not be ready now. And that's the beauty too. We go back to those guys that are doing the shows once a quarter, or they blew into town last week, but they come every March type thing or every October. You can do this every week. And when that client who's listener, when that listener is actually ready to raise their hand, you're already there. You're the first person they think of, not just the guy that comes in September or every March. Like, I need somebody now. And it's like when you're in their ear every week or every day or however often you do your podcast, it's like, well, of course, that's the first person I'm going to call. In my case, that's the guy that's going to help me free up my time and give my life back and get my business on rails. And it's going to help me with that. Of course, I'm going to give him the call first, right?
I want to interrupt you for a moment. Because in a sec, I'm going to like re-ask my question to make sure that we're like getting that too. But with the, I need to say that everything that you mentioned, a lot of different things that are super valuable, like basically figuring out ahead of time, what is your podcast going to be? Making sure that you have the right purpose, what you're trying to share and help people with. The takeaway that I got from what you were saying is sometimes you batch like 25 different episodes and then take some time off, which is pretty cool. It's good to ask yourself, how are you going to market? Where does your customer live? The VCR, the vision, capability, and reach was really, really valuable as well. And that quote that you mentioned, people only buy a better future, is another just great takeaway. The reason I want to re-ask the question is because I want to make sure that your next response is going to be like, what did Pete learn? I get that you had some radio background. You love to talk. But specifically, what can you give to a listener based on your experience, what you did wrong or what you did right? If you don't mind, just be like, I learned. And then say the thing that you learned because of your podcast.
Well, because of the kind of person I am, before I went into podcast, I talked to a lot of podcasters. So what did I learn? I learned before starting my podcast, a ton of things like we're talking about today, so that I could start off on a better foot than trying to go and learn all this stuff going in blindly. Yeah. I align myself with a podcast producer. I align myself with having conversations with all sorts of other people who told me some of the things that they, one of the big things is, you know what? Don't underestimate the amount of time that's going to take you to do this stuff. That's a big one, right? It does take time. And that's the procrastination thing for a lot of people are like, I don't think I can, I'm already busy. How can I accommodate doing 25 interviews and getting all these things done? And it's like, okay, well, if you think about some of these things and how you're going to lay out the process of it and map it out for yourself, you're going to give yourself the confidence that you can actually get this stuff done with the clarity, right? So people go into this and I think, I was going in just because of the way I try to set things up, going in pretty clear about what I wanted to do. And I think a lot of people aren't really clear about that. And some of the people that I've talked to that have started podcasts and kind of given up however many episodes in, just didn't really know why they did it. They just thought they'd wanted to do it. So if you're thinking about the fact that you just want to do it, just to do it, then you're going to go into it with a very different outlook than if you're going into it with a purpose, I think. So that's a big learning. Understand what it is you want the podcast to do for you, your life, and your business.
Awesome stuff. In a sec, I want you to specifically say something that you did wrong, because this is all stuff that you did right. And yeah. I love it all.
Yeah.
I want to rephrase everything that I heard. A, you made sure to align with a producer. So you don't have to do like all the hard work. You kind of offload some of that so that you don't have to wash your own dishes, for example. You aligned with somebody. That's super valuable. You got advice from other people in the space. Like you asked questions, you double checked. So you did that right. Another thing you did right is you didn't underestimate the time that it would take, because that was a piece of advice that you got. Mm. Another thing that I love that you basically said, I'm going to use it in my own words, ready, aim, fire, instead of ready, fire, aim. You did it purposefully instead of just doing it. Like a lot of people are there like, just start. They say, don't overthink it. They say, you can change it later. But you spent the time to figure it out before you did it, because you wanted to make sure that once it was started, it had something of value.
Mm-hmm.
So you got clear on everything. And so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 awesome takeaways of things that you definitely did right. Is there anything that you like made a mistake? Even after doing all of this preparation, is there anything you can state to the listener? Like, I still effed up on this thing and you shouldn't.
Yeah. The big one is call to action. Make sure you have a call to action. And whether it's as a guest on podcasts or whether it's as a host, I often either forget or don't have a strong enough call to action. So I would say that that is probably the biggest one, Adam. A couple things. I mean, I'm always jigging around.
What is a jig? What is to jig around?
To jig around.
I've never heard that. Yeah. I was a bartender at some point. Speaking of restaurants, I know what a jigger is, measuring.
Yeah, but
what does it mean to jig around?
Well, it's basically tweaking things. I'm always tweaking things. So I think, you know, we get in these ruts of, like I said, I batch stuff. Well, if I batch stuff and I do my intros and my outros, I mean, I have the core interview, but I'm doing my intros and outros. Sometimes by the time, if I'm batching, one of the problems with batching is 3 months down the road when this thing's going live, is this still relevant that I've said? Is my call to action that I have in that intro still relevant to where I'm at now with my business? Mm-hmm. So that's one of the problems with batching. When you talk about some of the learnings, so it's one of the problems.
What's a call to action? What is, like, for the listener who's like not sure what a CTA is?
Yeah.
What does it mean? And in a sec, maybe we could talk about what's a good CTA and what's a bad CTA.
Yeah. So what's a CTA? Call to action. Whether it's on your website or whether it's in your podcast, it's something that drives the person, the listener, the viewer, whatever the case is, to do something. And what do you want them to do? That's what you got to think of. Like, if there's one thing you want them to do, what is it? And that's the call to action. So I have several different ones that I test with my own podcast. It's like, one of them is, it's around a commercial that's, I'm available for hire, right? I mean, to put it bluntly, you can actually hire me. Because some people, as weird as it seems, it's like, he's on the podcast every week, but I never really knew I could hire him. Mm-hmm. It's like, So, you know, you can hire me. It's yes, you can. So that's one of them. I mean, another one might be to download this PDF of the 5 steps on how to, whatever that how to is for your business, right? How to get them through the transformation. Remember that idea of what your promise is and you're pulling them through to a better life. Well, what are the 5 easy steps that they could download? That's your PDF that you are now going to have them download. You're going to give them this free item and they're going to be on your email list.
I love it. Right?
So that you can then get a hold of them and contact them. And if they like what they see, they won't unsubscribe. And if you're not aligned with them, they will. Well, you know what? That's okay too. Because if they unsubscribe from you, and this is another thing when call to actions, if they unsubscribe with you, they're not your right client. They're not your right potential. So it's okay. That's okay if somebody just isn't in alignment with you, because your call to action, your podcast, your business should either attract the right client or repel the wrong one. You should either attract the right client or repel the wrong one. And it doesn't matter just to have a whole bunch of listeners or a whole bunch of clients if they're never going to take the action, because it's only when they take the action that the dollars exchange and that the thing happens, whatever that is that's uniquely yours in your business, right? Everybody's is different. So for me, it might be buy coaching services from me, or in our shoe store, it might be to buy a particular pair of shoes that we're asking them a call to action, or whatever the case is, different call to actions for different businesses. And they should be aligned with what's uniquely yours around the transformation of your promise through the processes that you've aligned that are uniquely different than other people's processes, giving the same promise, by the way, so that they can now see the better life that they want to live. Because that's when they're going to drop the bucks.
That's when they're going to drop the bucks. And that's when they're going to basically, as taking action benefits you.
For sure.
But it also benefits them.
It does. They
when
want the
they
better life.
Take action, yes, you'll make more money. Your company will have more revenue. You'll be able to outsource some of your work and help your employees and managers to be able to do less and make more. But at the same time, and at the same time, not but, everybody notice that. And at the same time, when they take an action, when they download the 5 easy steps to do XYZ and get on your email list, when they hire you, because you're available for hire, it allows them to become a better version of themselves. It allows them to make more money. It allows them to have more time freedom. It allows them to insert the thing. And we should be feeling good about that, because I think it's hard to have a CTA.
Yeah.
I think it's scary. I think it's vulnerable.
Yeah.
I think it's putting ourselves out there, our heart. We're wearing our emotions on our sleeve. We're letting people know that, hey, I want to make money.
Yeah.
And that's scary to approach that. But if we don't do it, it's like we're doing our people a disservice.
We are. It's so interesting. And I love, by the way, I grabbed my book as you were chatting there, because I run an entrepreneurial book club. And this month, as we're recording, it's called Lead With And, which is by Tim Arnold. It's a new book that just came out this month. And you were saying, and not but, right? And that's that whole concept. I mean, there's so many interesting things that you can play into the conversation that we've had here today, Adam. And whether it's for your business or for your podcast, it's the same conversation, because we're talking about strategy. We're talking about the different ways to overlay and look at how you're going to take something from where it is to where you want it to be, the transformations that you're going to take your listener through, your client through, all of these different things in how to set up your business. And you can do the same thing, by the way, for your life, right? You're setting the same thing up for your life. So where am I now? Where do I want to be? What are the steps that I'm going to take in order to get there? And I think so many people, whether you're an entrepreneur or not, so many people don't give themselves time to think about things like that.
Yeah.
And it's just so important to do. And I'm not saying you have to do it every single day. I mean, I kind of do, because I have a daily planner that I've created and all this sort of stuff. But even if you do it once a week, once a month, like once a quarter, not just New Year's, you know, like take some time to figure this sort of stuff out and align these things so that you're going to enjoy the fruits of your labor, whether it's through your podcast or through your business.
Probably my last question for you today, Pete. I want to put our shoes, our feet, yeah, your feet and my feet are in the shoes of the person listening today. And now I'm noticing every time I say the word and.
Yeah, there you go.
By the way, that book that you mentioned, we will link to it in the show notes,
sure, yeah,
Lead with And, as well as I'm going to make sure that it's an affiliate link. So if and when the listener's like going to buy that, I'll make 50 cents. Boom. Hey, and I'll monetize my show. And you should too. But let's talk a little bit about these calls to action. And think of it yourself as, Pete, you were starting your podcast and you didn't have very many calls to action. You didn't approach that. You were either not thinking about it or you were resisting it for some reason. I want to think about if you were resisting it or if our listener, whose our feet are now in their shoes, is thinking to themselves, well, I'm a little different. I don't want to have a podcast where I'm calling people to action.
Yeah.
That's too pushy. That's too much. That doesn't make me feel comfortable. I just want to add value. I just want to leave a legacy. I don't need to call people to action. What would you say to them?
Honestly, I would say, why have a podcast? I mean, because anybody that's going to give up their time is going to want to do something with that time, is going to want as though they feel like they've taken away something that they can do. And I think there's a million podcasts out there. And
no, there's 2.77 million.
There you go. You know it more than I.
keep going.
How many active? Is that how many active these days? I'm not sure. But regardless, when you think of that sort of stuff, the call to action, you said it well, Adam. These people want to be taken through the process. They're listening for a reason. They want you to help. And when you have the tools and you're not asking them to use them in that sort of way, you're doing them a disservice. You're not enabling them to get to where they want to be even quicker than they are now. And that's what the call to action is. That's when you're flipping around this idea. It's like, I know that I can give people's time back. I know that I can help them elevate and delegate their teams. I know that I can help them with their systems and the process so that they can enjoy that life. And if I'm not going to allow them the opportunity to do that, I'm doing them a disservice. Like, it's almost unconscionable not to tell them what the call to action is.
We could drop our mics right now if they weren't so expensive.
Yeah.
Pete, thank you for jumping on the show.
Yeah.
I look forward to having you back on.
Thanks,
again.
Man. I love that. Love that.
Awesome. And if you're listening, the link to Pete's website, the link to his podcast, the link to my interview on his podcast, maybe even some of his socials are already down. So scroll down, get his bio, check him out, connect with him. And when you do, not if you do, but when you do, and you leave an honest rating or review about his show, also say, I heard about you on Pop.
Yeah,
on podcast,
sure,
on podcasting.
I love that.
All right, we are out and I'll see you on the next episode. If you're glad that you checked out the podcast today, if you got some value out of this episode, some actionable takeaways, I invite you to do one of three things. A, you could do a written review on Apple. Let us know what you think. Just an honest written review. B, you could share the podcast with a friend of yours who needs it. Or C, at the very least, implement what you've learned to take your business and your podcast to the next level. And I'll see you on the next episode.